Hamilton Craig is a musician and songwriter from Shushan, New York, with several shows and a debut full-length album coming up in August. He talked with Jonah Moberg about lands, roots, mental illness, and music.
I guess we should start with the basics for people who aren't familiar with your music. We mostly focus on local things here and try to bring the local perspective. So I wonder if you could talk about how growing up in the North Country in Shushan, New York, has affected your songwriting.
Well, yes, I think I can. It's not exactly the North Country. It's the region that is immediately on the border of Vermont, of southern Vermont. And it's a region that is very, there's a lot of retention of sort of old fashioned elements of living. I think that there's a lot of those places that are where I live were are descended from sort of old settler and kind of religious communities, and the quality of the landscape, the quality of the people, and the sort of emotional spirit of it is something that I think, you know, just like with anybody else who's, you know, spends a lot of time in a place, is going to affect them. I think that when the place that you live in is one that's sort of isolated and seems in a lot of ways to be cut off from the sort of cultural production that occurs in the media and television and so forth, that has an effect that is very profoundly felt. I think that it's there's a remoteness, a loneliness, and a sort of individual, faintly eccentric aspect to the whole area that has sort of bled into my music.
And I know as well that you've talked a lot recently about how this sort of like family tradition and family mythology is finding its way into your music. Could you talk about your family and how they've influenced the way you see the world?
Yeah, this is a very important aspect. It's something that I've only recently sort of becoming attuned to, and has to do a lot with the changing way that I've come to think about music and its role in culture. And basically, it's also important in talking about the region, because in a sense, I'm not really of the region. I think that's important to understand. It's a region that is very dominated by like a farming community, by a sort of a community engaged in like in trades and things like that. And so it's my family were transplants to there, even though my family has a long history in the region of Vermont, going back a long ways, but they had lived in other places since and had come to settle there. And basically my father, who sort of, in a lot of ways, dominated the culture of the home, was an extremely, extremely educated person who had gotten, he had gone to Cambridge University. And his, the culture that he filled the home with was of a very sort of weirdly erudite and kind of unfashionable variety that really drew on the world of like the aesthetes and the symbolists and kind of all of the sort of descent of sort of artistic ideology through people like Oscar Wilde and William Morris. And in a lot of ways, our home was this sort of like reconstructed time capsule of that kind of ethos. You know, you had like peacock feathers in vases and, you know, the all kinds of sort of weird, eccentric decoration. And he himself was very plugged into that scene. And I think a lot of what sort of drove my awareness of this was recently when I realized that Harold Acton, who was a man who there's a character based on him in Brideshead Revisited, and he sort of is emblematic of the tail end of this sort of aesthetes movement, had actually written like this very intense and strange praise in a book of poetry that my dad had published a long time ago, where he said that he would said something about him being the reliquary of lost traditions and the ultimate in romantic efflorescence. And I realized that in a lot of ways, this sort of, that the culture of my home was, had been influenced by this sort of remote dead tradition of art that really, you know, that in a lot of ways, the way I was brought up was informed by the 1890s, you know, as much as it was informed by the 21st century. And it was possible to create that in a place that was as remote as the area where I lived. And so the sort of interpollination of those cultures, that I was going to school in this farming community and that I would go home into this sort of bizarre, dusty temple of art, it just creates a very unique sort of culture that I don't feel like I can really relate to or share with, you know, anything that is immediately apparent to me in the world around me. You know, it was like just a tiny little sort of microcosmic bubble that I spent the first years of my life in. That is sort of the only way I can replicate it is through music. The only way I can share it or express it or communicate it is through my own art.
And I know that also there are more recent influences as well. We've covered a lot of the stuff about your family and your hometown. Some of your newer songwriting has departed from the records that you've released, in that you're talking about, pretty frankly, about issues like mental illness and like the way the mental health system like affects people's minds and bodies. And like, I wonder if you could mention some of the experiences you've had or just some of the thoughts that you have that have gotten into your music.
Sure. Yeah, my music now, I mean, this has been the biggest, and this is another way where this also relates to culture very strongly. The views that I've developed around quote-unquote issues of mental health and quote-unquote issues of mental illness, which are terms that I tend to shy away from using now. I have had a lot of experience with the mental health system in America, including some extremely negative experiences. I was labeled from a very young age as someone who was mentally ill. And for a long time, I accepted that as being a way of that I could engage with that system and that they would help me to alleviate pain and that they would help me to be happier. But I think that it was really my encounter with the more brutal end of the spectrum, where I saw the mental health system being enacted in a hospital setting where there was no real therapy going on and where all I saw was a mechanism of control and segregation and intimidation basically being used to keep people out of the mainstream of society who were, you know, who had alternate values, alternate ways of thinking, alternate views. I recognize that a lot of people feel that their salvation lies in engaging with the mental health system, and I completely sympathize with that, and I can't make any statement for anybody other than myself. But I became aware that there was something in me there was an effort being made to stamp it out. I remember very distinctly a therapist of mine telling me, and I expressed to him that I was afraid of quote-unquote getting better because I didn't think that, because I felt that I had a self that had been my entire life twined with this quote-unquote illness, and that if that was removed from me, that I would lose myself. And he said, oh, we hear that all the time. That's a very common fear.
Right.
But it never seemed to have entered his mind that that was something that should actually be listened to, or that maybe it would be worthwhile to preserve these aspects of the self that people are trying to defend. And it occurred to me once I made that revelation that although this is an idea that you don't find written about in many books, and certainly not in psychotherapeutic literature, that it's an idea you hear expressed time and time again when you're within those stages of the system where you're in a hospital setting. You know, everybody around you is expressing that. They're expressing that they resent the doctors, that they hate them, that they don't want to be taken over. They don't want to be forced to take this medication. And so I became to express that ethic through my music. It's a form of protest music now, I think.
And do you think that art making, beyond being a way of protesting systems that are oppressive, can also be an antidote to like, or another option outside of, you know, traditional mental health options?
Absolutely. I think that it's made me tremendously happier, and that it proposes a way of, it's on multiple levels. On one level, it expresses that part of myself, which other people would like me to get rid of. It's a way of keeping that alive. It's a way of, like I said, it's another way of conveying culture. To me, quote unquote, mental illness is culture in the early stages of being born. It's culture in its infancy, you know, and so I'm trying to bring that culture to fruition. At the same time, I'm articulating and finding for myself alternative methods of dealing with the pain I've felt. One example is in one of the songs on my new album, I have this line, all these thoughts, I follow them around, I run them to ground and kill them with sound, which is expressing a method that's been useful for me, which is really engaging with the difficult sides of my quote-unquote mental illness and using music to counteract them, versus the advice that I always received, which was that I should try to see those things as not a part of myself. I should try to dissociate myself from them, try to crush those thoughts with medication as much as I could and never look at them or pay attention to them. They'd call it labeling. You always label the quote unquote intrusive thought as having nothing to do with yourself. Let it, you know, go into the sort of mental garbage right. can and just pretend it has nothing to do with you. Well, that's not true. It has everything to do with me.
We've only got a couple minutes left, and I do want to hear one of your songs. But I wonder if you could tell people how they could get in touch with you to hear about the shows that I know you have coming up in August, I think on the 10th, and one other one in Saratoga. And then I've got an album coming out in the fall as well, if everything goes well. So how can folks get in touch with you? And then could you just say one or two words about the song, The Frozen North, that we're about to listen to?
Yes. Well, I have a Bandcamp. It's hamiltoncraig.bandcamp.com. It has two of my my earlier EPs on it. I have a Facebook music page that can be found by just searching Hamilton Craig under Pages. It'll come up pretty quickly. I have an email, hamiltoncraigmusic1996@gmail.com. And so you can reach me in any of those ways. I do have some shows coming up. Not all of the dates are tied down yet, but I will be posting about that stuff online pretty soon. And I'm going to be working on my first full-length album, which is slated to be at 14 songs right now, and recording it this August. And there'll be more information available soon about that.
Great.
That release date as well.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Sure.
Didn't we have some good times before? Will you think of me when you're bored? Oh, sun has come to the frozen north. It's happening like before. Shine on the garden shed, on rasher's woods and the flower beds, and I will worry my pretty head until I'm cold and dead.
Regional musician Hamilton Craig. Keep up with Hamilton on Facebook and Bandcamp.